Hey, welcome to Your Turn. Mike Causey, glad to have you with us. We took a break over Christmas. Hope you had good holidays and got rested and ready to roll. And we're going to do a kind of a recap of the year 2011 today with Federal Timesman Steve Losey and Sean Riley. But first up, David Snell, who is Director of Retirement Services for the National Active and Retired Employees Association, is going to sort of bring us up to speed about retirement. David, are you with us?
Yes, I am, Mike. Good to be with
you. Hey, thank you for volunteering with some arm twisting from us to be on the show. I really appreciate it. The Federal Times reported that retirements in the last fiscal year, that is through last September, were up 24% over the previous year. And we know that the big retirement months tend to be December and January for a variety of reasons. Some of it's calendar related. Some people just think it's marks a good demarcation, either December or January. Others look at the annual leave situation and realize they can carry the maximum over into the new year and get paid for it at the at a higher rate if there is a pay raise, and they can also get a tax break in that the annual leave is counted in their following year's income, and that which is usually lesser. But are you noticing an uptick in interest from people? And because NARF, of course, represents active federal workers as well as retirees.
No, I haven't really noticed that much of an uptick, Mike. I think people are cautious, and they should be. You know, the past few years have been rather rough on everybody, and I think the latest reports I've read are that people are waiting, or more people are deciding not to retire yet than they have in the past. So I haven't seen an uptick in it as such.
So you're seeing it really the opposite way, that I guess the fact that whenever the economy is bad, turnover in government decreases, doesn't it?
It does, and I think, you know, there may be a little uptick in federal retirements only because people that would have retired 2 years ago and didn't are now at the point where they feel comfortable retiring. They've got a couple more years of earnings. They've got a little bit more in their TSP. And so maybe there would be, you know, it's kind of like a pent-up demand. Maybe at this point, federally speaking, there are some people that a few more than normal years would be retiring.
Well, I know if you're a federal worker in one of the hot fields and you can get a job with a contractor, if you have a secret or top secret security clearance, you're gold because you have an annuity, you have your health insurance, and to an employer, this is an ideal person.
Absolutely. And I wouldn't, you know, those folks are indeed fortunate. I think healthcare industry is another one that's hiring these days. But, you know, folks, before they make a plunge like retirement, need to really do some careful thinking. First of all, they need to get their facts straight about how long they're going to be retired and how much they're going to need in retirement to live on. And I think the rule of thumb now is between 70 and 100% of your pre-retirement income you will need to maintain your lifestyle. The other thing people need to think about is how long they're going to be in retirement. More and more people are living longer. And so I think people that have reached age 65 today, I think the reports are that they're going to live another 20 years. And that's a long time to live in retirement. So I think retirement is something they need to take, everybody needs to take seriously.
I saw an obituary in the Post the other day of a woman, and I believe she retired in 1957.
Oh, my goodness.
And that's a long time. She was a Fed, fortunately. But, well, there's a lot of confusion about the cost of living adjustment. The COLA, a full COLA, goes to people who are under the old civil service retirement system, and a diet or a reduced COLA goes to people who are under the FERS retirement system, and it only kicks in at age 62. The question I know you get a lot in a year when there is going to be a COLA, as this year, what 3.6%. It's toward the end of 2011, people said, you know what, I'm going to retire and get that COLA since there's no pay raise. It doesn't work that way, does it?
It certainly doesn't. The COLAs are, depending on when you retire in a year, the next cost of living adjustment is based, it's prorated on the months that you've been in retirement during that year. And November is pretty much the end of the opportunity to get any part of a COLA that's effective in December of the following,
so
you, the following month.
They'd have had to have been retired in December of 2010, is that right?
That's correct.
To get in the order to get 2012
the three, for it. Right. If they were under CERS to get the full 3.6, and if they were under FERS to get the 2.6.
Okay, that's good to know. So, but I guess the other thing to make people think about retiring is they say, look, there's a pay freeze this year, 2012. There's every indication that Congress and the administration might extend it for at least another year. You were mentioning the high three earlier, and if your high three doesn't go up, of course you're making a salary every 2 weeks, getting, but your high three isn't increasing, or is it?
Well, no, your high three isn't going to increase unless you're promoted. But again, as you point out, you're still earning money, and if you're not prepared to retire, it doesn't make any sense just because you're not going to get an increase in your salary. The employees, of course, get salary increases. Retirees get COLAs. It doesn't make any sense to just jump ship and retire if you're not ready. I mean, the advice out there is that you should have a full year of living expenses saved up before you do retire. And considering the length of time it's taking now to get those retirements finalized, then I think that's a very good rule of thumb to use.
Well, it would be a shame, too, to take a buyout, get a $25,000 buyout, which is whacked down to maybe $15,000 after taxes, and then have to live off that because your full annuity hadn't kicked in for months.
Yep, and as Yogi Berra once said, a nickel ain't worth a dime anymore.
Yeah.
And that $25,000, as you point out, reduced because of federal income tax that comes out of it, isn't going to take you very far. So, and perhaps, if you've saved up your annual leave and can get some cash out of that, that's good too. But it's just a word of caution. You don't want to jump into retirement. You want to plan this thing out. You want to find out what your monthly benefit's going to be at the time that you retire. And what a lot of folks don't take into consideration is they see a gross figure out there. Let's just say people that took the voluntary early outs this past year, they'll see a gross figure out there as far as what their annuity is, and they'll think, well, I can do that. But what they're not keeping in mind, or what somebody hasn't counseled them about, is the various reductions to that annuity that they're going to have to live with. And I'm talking about if they retire earlier than age 55 as a CSRS, they're going to have a permanent reduction in their annuity. There's going to be a reduction for providing survivor benefits. There may be other reductions depending on whether or not they have paid deposits or redeposits that are owed. All of those things come into play. Plus the fact that, the cost for their health benefits, life insurance, which they have been used to having deducted every 2 weeks, is now going to be deducted every month, and it's going to be twice as much as what they're expecting. So,
right. They'll still pay the same amount, but it's one big ouch in
exactly.
The monthly annuity check. Well, I wanted to ask you about that. Somebody once said, that it is a good idea. You know, if you go into these stores that sell greeting cards and whatnot, the paper chase, they'll frequently have one, and it'll say the year 1954 or the year 1983, and it shows what a car cost, what a loaf of bread cost, what the average salary was. Interesting, and they're fun to send for people if that's their birth year. But this person said that individuals ought to buy one of those for the year that they started working.
Oh, that's a great idea.
And look at it and consider it, because you may be retired as long as you're going to work. We've got to take a short break here, but I want to ask you about that when we come back here on WFED 1500 AM.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series, Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m., right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
I'm on a mission to spread the word about COPD through music. COPD stands for chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. My grandfather suffered from symptoms of it, and COPD is the fourth leading cause of death in the U.S. I'm Billy Ray Cyrus, and I drive for COPD. Looks like people are starting to get the message. Anyone age 35 and older who has smoked as little as 100 cigarettes could be at risk. Visit driveforcopd.com today and talk to your doctor.
How can I keep my child healthy during flu season? My teenager's always online. How can I be sure he's not into something harmful? Parents' Perspective has the answers. Sundays at 4 p.m. on WFED 1500 AM. Designate Parents' Perspective 44415 with a generous donation in the combined federal campaign or online at www.parentsperspective.org. Thank you for helping Parents' Perspective work for you.
When every moment matters and a hand reaches out, when someone gives blood and a life is saved, that moment when heartbreak turns to hope, you're there through the American Red Cross. Every day, the Red Cross responds to nearly 200 neighborhood emergencies, and your support makes it possible. Use this moment to join us today. Visit redcross.org.
Join host Michael Keegan next week for the Business of Government magazine, a special edition of the Business of Government Hour. How do we lead in an era of complex challenges? How is DoD changing the way it does business? What does USDA do to promote agricultural exports? And how can the U.S. be more competitive? Tune in to the Business of Government magazine next week and find out.
Hi, this is O'Donna Matthews. What does three decades of service add up to? For the Capital Area Food Bank, it includes these important numbers. Distributing 25 million pounds of food to nearly 500,000 people through a network of 700 partner agencies. 30 years, it's a long time. But the mission continues to make sure that no one is left hungry. To learn more, contribute, or volunteer, visit capitalareafoodbank.org.
The Washington Capitals are bringing the excitement of hockey to local classrooms with CAPS at School. CAPS at School is a free online curriculum-enhancing teaching tool for grades 1 through 6 that uses the sport of hockey to teach science, math, language, art, health, and physical education. Teachers and students participating in CAPS at School can also win visits from Capitals players and Slapshot teachers. For more information on how to enroll your class for free, visit capsatschool.com.
When every moment matters and a hand reaches out, when someone gives blood and a life is saved, that moment when heartbreak turns to hope, you're there through the American Red Cross. Every day, the Red Cross responds to nearly 200 neighborhood emergencies, and your support makes it possible. Use this moment to join us today. Visit redcross.org.
Hey, Welcome back to Your Turn. This is Mike Causey. I'm talking with David Snell. He's Director of Retirement Services at the National Active and Retired Federal Employees Group. David, before the break, we were talking about, you said people need 70 to 100% of their current income in retirement, and that's a lot. And we were talking about those cards that you might want to get if you the year you started working and see what things cost then, and then crank that out and figure you may be retired for as long as you worked. So look at what prices are going to be 20 or 30 years down the road. My first new car was a Volkswagen that cost, I think, a whopping $1,650, and that had a sunroof with it. And I had, of course, trouble making the payments. So, but it's something to look at, isn't it?
Right, and everything's relative. I mean, we make a lot more than we did, you know, when you were buying your first car. Again, it just shows you the I mean, you and I can remember when you didn't have to pay to watch TV, but, you know, things keep adding up, and computers and that sort of thing are now a you know, almost a necessity in modern life. So in addition to the natural inflation the inflation that constantly is boosting the price for everything, you've got other add-ons that are coming in. So, it's a different world every 10 years or so, and people need to project. Now, if somebody's ready to retire, I mean, if they, you know, my mother used to caution me, if you're not completely comfortable about a decision, then don't do it. But if you're comfortable and you think you've got everything aligned and you've done your homework, then by all means retire. You've earned it. You've worked hard for it, and that's what it's for. But for those folks who are just looking at an enticement, then I will say that the government rarely does anything, or an employer for that fact, rarely does anything to the benefit of the employee. It's more for them, the employer. If you're tempted by early outs and that sort of thing, just do your homework and make sure.
You know, they used to say, half in jest, you go into a ritzy store or auto place or something, and they said, if you have to ask the price, you don't you shouldn't be getting it.
Right,
and the same it. Is I've heard the same true for the buyouts, the maximum of $25,000, and that is that they say if you're retiring because you really need that money, then you shouldn't be retiring, period.
Exactly.
You should keep your daytime job.
Exactly. You're going to make a lot more than that just from your salary. So as you pointed out earlier, there are some job opportunities out there. Now, as you get older, those job opportunities aren't going to be as coming to you as much as when you're younger. But there are specialty areas, Homeland Security, the health field, that sort of thing, that you'd be able to provide yourself with a retirement income with. But unless it's been given to you guaranteed before you retire, I wouldn't count on those things.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you, David, because you're right there and you were at OPM. What is the wait list now, the wait time for people to get a full annuity check from OPM? And do you have a checklist as to what people should look at before they retire?
Well, the latest I've heard from OPM is that it's still taking about, on average now, you got to take it on average with a grain of salt, because it only includes those straight regular retirements without any problems. It doesn't include disability retirements and that sort of thing, or CSRS offsets and all the variations. But it was about 4 months. Now, that's, again, average, and that's
those are the easy ones.
Yeah, popular early voluntary outs. So I don't think anybody should go in there thinking that they're going to get their full retirement in a few months. OPM is doing things to help, you know, get those retirements out earlier. The other thing is the interim payments in between the time when you retire and the time you get your full annuity is going to be only a part of what your full annuity will be. And depending on the agency that you retired from and how accurate their estimates are, it could be close to it. The interim payments could be closer. It could be far away. And you might be in for a shocker.
What is the range there for an interim payment? Is it as low as 40% of what you might actually wind up with?
I've heard, you know, from our members that they're only getting about 40% in some cases. I've heard from others that it's closer to 80 or 85%. Of course, we're going to hear from the folks that are not happy with what they're getting.
And also to worst case scenario, but imagine if you retired this month and it was June before you got, you had to live on 40% of your current income for 6 months. How would that work out for you?
That wouldn't work out for me at all. And I don't think it would work out for most people. So again, before you make the move to retire, make sure you have some money set aside for living expenses, because you don't know for sure, you know, how quickly you're going to get your full retirement.
Right, and again, I think obviously having the money set aside, Susie Orman says should be 8 months to a year, 8 to 12 months. But obviously you want to have as much as you can set aside, because if you take a buyout and get that $15,000, or if you have a lot of annual leave that you saved up and cashed in as you retired and got it, you shouldn't have to spend that on daily basic living. That should be mad money.
Absolutely. And again, I'll go back to what I said before. It's always good to get pre-retirement counseling from your agency and make sure what you're going to get, not only based on your years of service and high 3 average salary, but then the reductions that are going to bring that amount down. Because you don't want to think that you're going to get $4,000 a month in retirement and then end up getting half of that legally, because it's you know, been calculated correctly. And then where are you? What are you going to do?
Yeah, if you're someone like me, don't trust your own math. And there are good, OPM has a good retirement calculator website, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, they've got a good one. NARF offers one through its membership. That's a good one. You know, it's all in the details, and you can, you know, there are quick cuts. There are charts out there that tell you, you know, the percentage of your high 3 that you're going to get depending on how many years you have and under a retirement system. But again, those are just kind of broad shots, and each individual case is different, and each career was different, and they have different twists and turns to them that will affect the eventual outcome of the annuity. Another thing, federal employees, when they're thinking about retiring, also need to think about their families. Whatever affects their annuity is going to affect the survivor annuities if they're going to leave one for their spouse. So they need to just keep in mind that, yeah, they're the ones working and need to, you know, I've had it. I'm almost ready for retirement. I think I'll get out. But when they do their calculations, they also need to think about their family members.
Okay, and then remember the 5-year rule. Have your health insurance for 5 years prior to retirement so you can carry it into retirement, and have your spouse have some kind of a survivor annuity for him or her if you want them to be able to keep insurance. Isn't that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, very good. All right, any other things for people who are about to wrap it up as we wrap it up here?
Well, the other things that can affect somebody's retirement annuity is, of course, if they were previously married and they had a divorce decree that provided a retirement benefit for their former spouse, and it may have been several years or many years since that happened, but that's out there waiting, and that can take a big bite and delay, as well as delay the adjudication of of an annuity.
Okay, so this idea of retiring, and we need to wrap it up here, it's of equal importance to the deciding to get married or divorced, or I would say even have children. It's that big an economic issue. Thank you, David Snell, for being with us. And you can get a hold of David at www.narfe.org. We'll be right back in a moment. We're talking with our Federal Times friends.
It's the Geico Gecko with a little hello to all you federal employees. Now, in government, there are people on all points of the political spectrum. But there is one thing that everyone agrees on. Saving money is good. Which brings me to the big news. Geico offers discounts to most federal employees GS7 or above. It don't matter if you're a Democrat or an aristocrat, left wing, right wing or a chicken wing. If you're a federal employee GS7 or above, you could be saving a lot of money on your car insurance by switching to Geico. So no matter if you're blue or red or, in my case, green. If you're a federal employee, GS7 or above, contact Geico and see how much you could save. Isn't that right, Mike?
Exactly right, my little green friend. Hey, folks, this is Mike Causey. And like the Gecko said, discounts are available for most federal employees, GS7, the equivalent, or above. Just call Geico at 1-800-947-AUTO, go to geico.com, or visit your local Geico office to see how much you could save.
Here's Jerry Davis, the Chief Security Officer at the VA, on the Federal Executive Forum on Emerging Technology, sponsored by EMC.
I think we're going to start seeing that over the next 5 to 10 years, where machines are more self-aware and not just aware about the environment, but what's taking place from a security perspective. It's going to have to be built in into these devices in the next 5 to 10 years, because you can't keep up with the pace with the sheer number of devices that are coming out.
To listen to the whole program made possible by Trezza Media Group, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
Virtualization delivers big benefits, but traditional storage and backup can't handle the increased demands of virtual environments. Get on track with EMC Next Generation Unified Storage and Backup, optimized for VMware. Run virtual applications 3 times faster and reduce VMware backup times by 90%. Streamline with VM management and single-step restores. Decrease application storage by 50% and reduce backup storage by 40 to 60 times. EMC products available on GSA through government acquisition.
Welcome to today's lottery drawing. And today's winning numbers are not yours, not yours, and another number that's not yours. And the final number is not yours.
When it comes to having money, don't rely on luck. Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering it. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Your new Cocker Spaniel is waiting to meet you, and you don't have to travel very far. This weekend and almost every weekend, Oldies But Goodies Cocker Spaniel Rescue holds at least one adoption show in the greater D.C. area. Find out where we'll be this weekend by checking out CockerSpanielRescue.com. Stop by to meet the many homeless Cockers of all ages who are looking for their new home. These dogs have already been spayed or neutered and have all their shots. For more information on adoption, fostering, or volunteering, visit CockerSpanielRescue.com.
You download the free applications for your iPhone or iPad or Android smartphone, and then you go to their network, and then it knows all of the infrared codes for these things, and it's got the programming for 500 models. And then once you download the specific details for the model of the equipment that you have, this remote control will control everything.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
We simultaneously celebrate as the clock strikes midnight on New Year's. Now bacteria are being engineered to do something similar. Potential applications range from environmental sensors to medical therapies. Engineers are building genetic clocks in bacteria inspired by cell machinery that creates our circadian rhythm.
We rely on the same kind of design principles that nature has adopted via evolution.
Jeff Hasty, a University of California bioengineer, is using bacteria with fluorescent proteins and setting genetic timers that trigger them to glow on and off at certain intervals. Then, through fast-moving gases,
each cell communicates the phase of its clock to other cells, which cause the cells to beat synchronously.
Hasty says enough cells would create a visible sensor that could
change the period of the clock in response to some pathogen that's in the environment.
The concept might also lead to fine-tuning of medical applications like gene therapy. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Your Turn. This is Mike Causey. I'm going to be talking with Steve Losey and Sean Riley from the Federal Times. Gents, are you with us?
We're here.
Did we? Oh, you would. We mastered the both in the same control room. Good for you. We'll have to start singing in harmony here. Listen, everybody's done a retrospective of the year 2011, but we haven't. And all of us, and people who read and listen to this station and read Federal Times, people were on tenterhooks all year. I'm looking at, we were waiting for shutdowns, we were waiting for furloughs, the change of the high three to the high five, looking for an extended pay raise, looking for a voucher system that might be introduced in the federal health program, and a formula to recalculate annuities to lower them over the next few years. And bottom line is, nothing happened. What happened to make nothing happen?
Well, I think it was in 2011, it was kind of the opening gambit. I mean, these things didn't become law, that's true. But we saw a lot of proposals get out there, a lot of consensus building on the Republican side that the federal government is, in their opinion, too big, the benefits are too generous, the pay is too high, and need to be cut as part of a deficit reduction. We also saw President Obama's deficit reduction plan include a hike in the amount of contributions that federal employees would put towards their retirement. So, you know, nothing actually became law last year, but like they say, what's passed is prologue. And I think that a lot of the discussion that took place in 2011 is going to come back in a big way this year.
And one of the factors, if I could jump in,
sure,
is that the Congressional Super Committee, the House Senate, you know, 12-member panel that was supposed to come up with $1.2 trillion worth of deficit reduction over the next 10 years, failed to fulfill its mission. And so DeVolpo and Steve said, I think what the impact was essentially to punt those decisions into this year and beyond.
Yeah, and the fact that this is an election year, people always say that's significant, and it probably is. But how might that impact these things? A lot of federal workers, you know, if you're in an all-Fed environment, you think that everybody thinks the way you do. And you think that if there is a pay freeze or if there's some detrimental change in federal benefits, that it's going to hurt the politicians. But that's not necessarily true beyond the Beltway, is it?
No, that's not true. And one thing that we've seen consistently from the slate of Republican candidates, most of them have, at one time or another, made some comments about federal employees being, you know, in their opinion, overpaid, overcompensated, and called for either reducing or freezing their pay, or cutting the workforce by 10-15%, what have you. So, yeah, it's clear that the deficit reduction is the big thing that Washington is talking about these days, and the Republicans see federal employees, their staffing, their pay, their benefits, as a lucrative and a politically safe way to either cut the deficit or pay for things, such as, like we saw last month with the whole payroll tax extension debate. There were several Republican proposals that for paying for the payroll tax cut extension through federal pay freeze. So,
well,
yeah, we're going to see more of that.
I think it should be pointed out, too, most people focus on the Republicans, rightly so, as the ones who are going after the federal establishment. But the idea of the two-year pay freeze came out of the White House, and it was in part a result of this Bowles-Simpson group, which recommended, I think, a three-year federal pay freeze. So the White House and the Democrats also have some dog in this fight, as it were, and the ideas that were recommended by Bowles-Simpson, by the Congressional Commission, the Super Committee, by the White House groups, Vice President Biden's, and others, those ideas are still out there, and you think they could collide and could impact on feds?
Absolutely. That's a very good point. You know, that some of these proposals have come out of the White House, the two-year pay freeze. And, you know, I was hearing rumors right after the pay freeze was announced that right up until the announcement, the White House was considering a three-year pay freeze, and they scaled it back at the last minute, which makes me wonder if the Republicans, you know, come out and say, we want a third year of the pay freeze, the White House will kind of acquiesce to that. I would not be surprised if that happens. But, you know, in September that Obama released his deficit reduction plan. That includes increasing contributions, retirement contributions, by 1.2 percentage points over 3 years. And Obama also wants to eliminate the FERS annuity supplement, which goes to FERS retirees who are not yet eligible for Social Security. So I think that's going to be kind of the floor for negotiations in 2012. That's going to be the bare minimum that happens. That's my prediction.
Okay, so that would be not only an extended another year of pay freeze, but actually take home cut and take home pay, because you would increase employees' contributions to their retirement system.
That's what I suspect will happen. Yes.
Okay, that's not good. Now, last year, I think some people might say we were hyping this, but I know we tried very hard here, and I could tell by reading the Federal Times, you guys tried as well to not fan the flames, but to sort of warn people. And one thing that that I suggested, and I know you did too, when people would call in or email or something and say, do I have time to retire? Can I get out before these things happen? And we always tried to caution them that we didn't know the timeline, but they would probably have plenty of time. They might even be date certains in the future. But if anybody who retired last year fearing whatever they feared, the high three to high five, a variety of things, made a mistake, right?
I don't know if I can say that you know, everybody who retired made a mistake. But yeah, the high five did not get enacted, and there hasn't been, you know, a specific proposal, specific bill. I'm sorry. Let me back up. There has been, but anyway, the high five is not close to getting enacted yet, and even when it does get enacted, there would probably be some, you know, grace period or some time that if you don't want to fall into the high five, you'd have a period to retire. So, yeah, there shouldn't be any mad rush to the exits right away to avoid the high five.
Well, and financially, it's not the end of the world if it does happen, is it?
Yeah, we're only talking about a couple of $100 a year, which, you know, is not peanuts, of course, but when compared to some of the proposals for hiking retirement contributions, a good bit, equalizing the retirement contributions for FERS employees, that we're talking thousands, maybe tens of thousands of dollars a year. The high five is we're talking a couple of hundred.
Steve, you said that in a story over the Christmas or in December that retirements were up 24% in the last fiscal year over the previous year. That's a big jump. Has the tsunami started?
Could be starting. I suspect that it may have. I mean, these baby boomers make up a large chunk of the federal government, and for, you know, I've been covering this for, gosh, close to a decade now, and it seems like every year I hear, oh, the retirement tsunami's coming, and it hasn't. It's been a big kind of a bust for several years, but I think those boomers are going to have to retire one way or another sooner or later, and I think the fact that we've seen the pay freeze, the fact that we're seeing these budget cuts, and agencies are really starting to contract, and we're seeing a lot of buyouts, a lot of early retirements, and there's a lot of fear about some of these benefit cuts that we've just discussed, and a lot of kind of irritation at the constant demonization of federal employees by politicians. All that adds up to, as you said, a 24% spike in retirement applications for the first 10 months of 2011. And when you look at October was shocking. The applications in October were 42% higher than October 2010 and 60% higher than October 2009, which John Barry, the director of OPM, said last year that kind of caught them off guard, since retirements usually spike in January. So who knows what it's going to be like this month and next month.
Well, and I guess that's something for people who are contemplating retirement. Another thing to factor in, we were talking with David Snell earlier from NARF about this, is how long is it going to be before you get a full annuity check? You may go on the calculator. Your agency may tell you that you're going to get $1,200 a month. But for a period of time, on average 4 months, but in some cases much longer, you may be getting half that, 40% of that.
That's right.
And this could increase if these retirement numbers keep spiking.
Yeah, right now OPM is kind of falling further behind. The backlog is growing, which is kind of alarming. And, you know, if you throw on a couple of thousand, couple of dozen thousand more new retirees than they've had in the past, I just don't see how they're going to keep their head above water. I think it's going to get even more complicated. It's going to grow even worse. And so, yeah, if you're retiring anytime soon, I would advise you to make sure you have at least 6 months of 6 months be able to 6 months cash on hand to be
pay
able
the
to,
bills.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me ask you about the new possible new performance system when we come back from a break here on 1500 WFED.
The Federal Living Report, brought to you by WEPA.
Look for agencies to rely more on HR University this year. They don't have a lot of money to train staff. HR University is filling the gaps by allowing agencies to share courses online that are vetted by subject matter experts. It's a project of the Chief Human Capital Officers Council, but it's not just for human resources staff. Department of Veterans Affairs officials say their version of online training helped them save $200 million in turnover costs.
These are hard times for federal employees. A multi-year pay freeze, rumors of furloughs, and discussions on reducing benefits are the realities that all federal employees face. Now, more than ever, it's important to find ways to save your hard-earned money. One way is with life insurance from WEPA. WEPA offers lower rates and a premium refund policy that's returned over $58 million to its policyholders since 1996. To learn how much you can save, visit WAEPA.org. Once again, that's WAEPA.org.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth, every Saturday here on Federal News Radio at 10 a.m. Please join me this week for my special guest, Paul Pagnotto of the Pagnotto Carp Group of Hightower Advisors. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin Feldman and Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia, serving the entire D.C. metro area. If you'd like to get in touch with us, visit us on the web at www.ofplaw.com.
My family struggled, and it was assumed that while I would go to college, I would have to pay for it myself.
Charlie wasn't sure how to get the money she needed for college. Then she found out about federal student aid and the FAFSA.
I don't think I quite realized what a huge deal actually graduating was. Federal student aid definitely made that happen.
Need help planning and paying for college? Find out more at college.gov.
My name is Charlie, and this is my story.
Navy Rear Admiral retired Elizabeth A. Height, Vice President, U.S. Public Sector Cybersecurity Practice, HP Enterprise Services, on the Cybersecurity Combating Threats to Our Software Environment panel, sponsored by Hewlett-Packard.
We look at applications and software development from an architectural view today. At least we should, because quite frankly, it's so much easier to design security in than to find the thousands or tens of thousands of vulnerabilities that might exist in that software at a later date once deployed.
Could your IT security have made you less secure? Traditional IT security defenses, firewalls, encryption, and intrusion detection systems are extremely effective, and that's the problem. They're so good that the bad guys are now training their sights on a new target: exploitable vulnerabilities in software applications. HP can help governments secure mission-critical applications by designing security in from the beginning, finding the vulnerabilities inside existing software, and fixing them quickly and cost-effectively. To learn more, visit federalnewsradio.com/HP.
Hey, it's the Geico Gecko. Now, as a federal employee, you're probably one for a smart presentation, so I've put together some charts and graphs here. There you go. That will help illustrate the money you could save by switching to Geico. First thing you'll notice is that Geico offers discounts to most federal employees GS7 or above. Now, this is big news. But that shouldn't come as any surprise from a car insurance company that has been serving government employees since 1936. And as you can see on this graph here, it's probably why we're the third largest car insurance company in the nation. Yeah, no, I do actually realise you can't see these, but trust me, they're rather impressive. Especially the 97% customer satisfaction rate. And when you consider it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more, well, all you GS7 employees or above should just contact Geico. Tell them, Mike.
Hey folks, this is Mike Causey, and the Gecko said it best. Most federal employees GS7, the equivalent or above, could get a discount on their car insurance. Just call Geico at 1-800-947-AUTO, go to geico.com, or visit your local Geico office to see how much you could save.
As agencies await the release of the federal budget for fiscal year 13, they must learn to do more with less. To meet OMB's Shared First model, agencies need to accurately measure the effectiveness of their IT portfolio beyond cloud and the FDCCI. Join FCA Bethesda on January 18th at the Bethesda North Marriott as agencies outline three key areas of governance: creating IT efficiencies and cost savings, policy and trends, and IT oversight. Register today at fciabethesda.org/JANBreakfast.
This is Mark Amtower. For 27 years, I've advised hundreds of large and small contractors on the best marketing tactics to reach key government buyers and influencers. Collectively, my clients have made billions of dollars by maximizing the value of their contracts. If you need to maximize the value of your GSA schedule, GWAC, or IDIQ, or you need to raise your overall visibility in the government market, we need to talk. Make certain your marketing budget pays major dividends. Contact me at federaldirect.net.
Welcome back to the Federal. This is Mike Causey. We're talking with Federal Timesman Steve Losey and Sean Riley about a variety of things. You guys had a story the other day about a new performance system within the GS schedule, and I think it's called GEAR, G-E-A-R. What is this all about, and is this just another one of these? It seems like every administration comes up with a system that's going to make the civil service really work. This time it's going to really work.
Yeah, you're right. It seems like every couple of years a new administration comes out with a great big new idea that's going to fix everything. And so who knows whether this is going to succeed where any of the past efforts failed. Right now it's being tested at six agencies such as VA and OPM and HUD. And basically, this GEAR program, we're going to create a culture of ongoing continuous feedback. So basically, they're going to have managers have quarterly performance reviews with employees. They want to improve communication. And if you're messing up on the job, the idea is don't wait until the very end of the year to get your employee before you and say, Mike, you really messed things up this year, and we're going to have to fire you. Because then you don't give someone a chance to improve. The idea is you get someone every 3 months and you say, this is not working out too well. You're going to need to improve on this. And if they're not improving, 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, you put them on a performance improvement plan. You start spelling out how they're going to improve. And if they're not improving, then you start firing them. So it's something that it's a plan that some of the managers are not too wild about. The managers thought there should be more some of the managers felt there should be a little bit more to it, a little more to address poor performers, that is. So we'll see how well this pilot test works. But the OPM is saying that if there's going to be any broader overhaul of the civil service system, that fixing the performance management element is a crucial first step. So if all goes according to OPM's plan, this would be a first step towards overhauling the 60-year-old GS system.
Well, I've heard supervisors over the years say that one of the worst parts of their job is having to do performance ratings, and it's very if you do it right, it's very time-consuming, can be very difficult, and given the choice between being tarred and feathered and run out of town or having their annual reviews, they would have to think twice about it and maybe opt for the tar and feathers. So doing this four times a year times 1.6 million employees, that's going to be, if it's done properly, it's going to be a very time-consuming operation.
Yeah, that certainly is one of the big risks, that it does end up, a lot of these managers are already running around ragged, and this could end up putting a lot more burden on these managers. So I think the idea is it's not so much the complete formal process like you do at the end of the year, more sort of a conversation where you sit down and say, this is working, this isn't working. A less formal just conversation where you update someone, that's the plan. Now, whether it actually happens that way, we'll see.
Well, one of the complaints that employees and managers both make, we've had the Federal Managers Association on here, and you hear it anecdotally from employees, is that notwithstanding all of these performance reviews and whether you do it annually or do it every 3 months, the bottom line is once you identify a poor performer, there's nothing that can be done or there's nothing that is done about them. Does this make any change in that?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't change anything structurally. It doesn't make it easier to remove poor performers. It doesn't make it easier to punish poor performers. Anything like, and that's one of the things that some of the managers were kind of disappointed in. I believe they were hoping to have a bit of, you know, I think they were hoping to, you know, that they might have a bit of a stronger hand to deal with the poor performers, and this does not include that.
What's you guys' takes on the likelihood of more buyouts in 2012? I see the Air Force has just announced a second one. What are the prospects?
I think that's the closest thing to a sure bet is you're going to get mm-hmm. the federal workforce. Yeah, as you said, the Air Force, they didn't waste any time. Yesterday, the first workday of the year, they come out and offer a second round of buyouts and early outs. They already had more than 1,000 people accept buyouts and early outs in the first round, and they're offering it to 4,500 more is their hope. So, yeah, agencies are really scared about the budget situation over the next couple of years. The sequestration, as Sean said, is going to start kicking in next January. There's going to be agencies that they're going to start laying the groundwork for cutting their workforce to get to start trying to meet these $1.2 trillion in massive cuts. So I don't think anybody really wants to lay off employees through reductions in force. So agencies are going to pull out every trick in their bag to avoid that. And buyouts and early outs are going to be a major part of that.
Well, I wonder if it indeed works this way in Washington anymore, if it ever did. But I've heard of agencies that at the last minute will spend all of their money, even though they really don't need it, so that Congress won't see them coming in with less than they appropriated and then cut them the next year. And I would think there's some of this thinking going on. If I was a manager, I would be tempted to not offer buyouts to people to keep the workforce so that when they did come in with sequestration or budget cuts, I'd have something to give them and they wouldn't be making a budget cut on top of a workforce that I had already trimmed down with buyouts.
I think that'd be a risky strategy. I mean, I think there is a fair amount, at least anecdotal evidence, that agencies do try to, you know, essentially spend down to the last penny of their budgets by the end of the fiscal year for fear that Congress will decide, well, you really didn't need all that money anyway if you couldn't spend it. But if you're going to hold off on that, you know, on any kind of workforce cuts, you know, essentially as a way of giving, making an offering to Congress and the White House later on, as Steve said, I think most agencies, if not all, would do anything they can to avoid layoffs, you know, or reduction in force.
So I guess the watchword for 2012, as you said, if there is a sure thing, it's that there will be more buyouts, even though they're targeted, there will be more. And if that age and that range and of a will to do that kind of thing, you should be preparing ahead, including saving all of the money you can in case you have to make a sudden decision to take a buyout, knowing that you may have to wait 4 to 6 to 8 to 12 months for a full annuity.
That's right.
Any parting shots?
One thing I just want to add, and Steve was talking about this new performance system. Just as an aside on how difficult a change is, the Office of Personnel Management and Defense Department on January 1st formally pulled the plug on the National Security Personnel System, which was a Bush-era initiative to introduce a pay-for-performance system in the Defense Department. It ran into a lot of opposition from unions. Actually, Steve did some great work looking at some of the fairness aspects of it. And eventually Congress decided, I think back in 2009, 2010, to abolish it as effective January 1st, 2012. So it is now history.
It is history, and it cost an awful lot of money. Thank you, gentlemen. Talk to you next week. Everybody have a good week. We'll see you back here Wednesday at 10 a.m.